Hello and welcome to Bone Up, the podcast all about bones, how we make them, why we break them, and if we fully understand them. I'm David Armstrong.
Hi, and I'm Richie Abel. And over this series, we're going to be exploring osteoporosis, bones, what we know, and what we're yet to discover. And we hope you will join us on the journey.
So for anyone keen to learn more about our infrastructure of calcified collagen, this is Bone Up. Hello, and welcome to a special mini episode of Bone Up. We had a mini episode last year, Richie, when we were able to talk about a new drug, romosozumab. And like London buses, you don't get a new drug for 10 years and then two come along at once, because we're here today to talk about abaloparatide, which has been approved for use in the UK just within the last week. So exciting times in the world of osteoporosis treatments.
The whole bone research field just seems to go from strength to strength, and it's resulting in a lot of new treatments for patients. I guess for you listeners at home, the most important question you might want to get the answer to today is, what are the treatment guidelines for abaloparatide?
Well, the UK's National Institute for Clinical Excellence, NICE, have issued a statement just within the last week saying that they recommend abaloparatide for patients who are at very high risk of fracture. Postmenopausal women at very high risk of fracture. Very high risk is defined, of course, according to the FRAC score and the NOG guidance, as patients who are at least 60% above treatment threshold. And in practical terms at the clinic, that's usually patients who've had new vertebral fractures, because we know from, well, almost all the podcasts we've done in the last few years that there's a lot of focus now on new vertebral fractures as identifying patients at really high risk who we want to treat as quickly and as early as possible with the strongest possible drug. So that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at a sort of a high-end drug for the worst patients, which is great news.
If you prescribe a patient then, how will they take the drug and how long will they take it for?
Well, this is one of the red list medicines. In other words, you have to come to the hospital to get it and be supervised by a consultant. It's an injectable treatment, like many new medicines. You will inject yourself with it once a day for 18 months. If that sounds rather like teriparatide that you inject for 24 months and romosozumab that you inject for 12 months, well, then it fits very much into the paradigm in that area. And after you finish the 18-month treatment, then you will have to switch to one of the other drugs, to one of the anti-resorptive drugs, which prevents bone loss.
So, David, you have a lot of treatments available to you now to discuss and to prescribe to your patients. How do you think abaloparatide is going to fit into the clinic? Have NICE been able to give any information about the organisation and funding, etc.?
No, I think that's something that you know, many of us as sort of UK bone experts are talking about and are working on at the moment. We will need to see just how it fits into the clinic. There's no doubt that there has been a paradigm shift in the last 3 to 5 years on how we deal with very high risk patients. And lots of clinics now will have been set up with fast track clinics and clinics just for vertebral fractures to get these patients in and get them seen. So it will no doubt sit alongside teriparatide and romosozumab for those groups of patients. It doesn't have to be kept in the fridge. That might offer some advantages to some groups of patients. And as I say, the course lasts for 18 months rather than 12 or 24, and that may influence some choice as well. There's some suggestion that you may not get just as high calcium levels in the blood as you get sometimes as a side effect with teriparatide. But apart from those sort of feelers, we're really not just quite certain yet how it will fit in, and how it will be funded in different areas. But, you know, that's a nice thing to be able to talk about. It's good fun to be able to talk about how we get a new drug to the patients and how we get funding for it. Much better that than having, you know, having no new drugs available. I sort of mentioned there briefly in passing about drugs that sort of build bone, drugs that remove bone. Just remind us where this sort of drug fits then in that category. Richie, is this a drug that builds bone or a drug that removes bone?
Abaloparatide is classed as an anabolic agent, which means that it builds bone. The simple explanation is that abaloparatide improves bone mineral density and bone mass by stimulating bone cells. And obviously, if you improve density and mass, a bone is going to be better able to resist a fracture when somebody has a trip or fall. The slightly more complex explanation is that abaloparatide works by mimicking a natural hormone in our bodies, and that's parathyroid hormone. And parathyroid hormone is very important for regulating calcium in our bodies. So you can see straight away how this hormone is going to be important for a disease like osteoporosis, which is fundamentally a loss of calcium and a loss of bone. And basically, the medicine will travel to a patient's bone cells, bind with receptors on the cell surface, like a docking station. And once abaloparatide docks with a bone cell, it will trigger a set of chemical reactions inside the cell that stimulate its activity. And regular listeners, you'll know that there's two really important types of bone cells, osteoblasts, which form new bone, and osteoclasts, which resorb old and damaged bone. And normally in a healthy adult, the osteoclasts take away the damaged bone, the old bone, and the osteoblasts replace it. And that in somebody with osteoporosis, there's an imbalance. The osteoclasts take away too much bone, and the osteoblasts don't put back enough. Well, abaloparatide resets that imbalance by stimulating the osteoblast cells a lot more than the osteoclast cells. And in their clinical trials, when they tested the drug, they measured biomarkers in the blood to see how big that effect was. What they reported is that abaloparatide increases osteoblastic bone formation markers by about 80%, and the bone resorption markers are only increased by about 20%. By improving the formation over the resorption, you get a net gain in bone mineral density and bone mass, which is essentially what's going to prevent the fractures.
That's exciting, and I find patients love to hear how drugs actually work, because as much as anything, it's an incentive to, you know, to persevere with the drug if you sort of understand how it's working. That, of course, is okay in the laboratory or at the science level. We have evidence that it actually works, of course, in humans, and that it does increase bone mineral density and that it does reduce fracture. Isn't that right? If you follow these things, there was a study published, it must be maybe 7-8 years ago now, called the ACTIVE study, which specifically compared abaloparatide to patients who weren't getting any drug and also looked at some patients getting teriparatide. Do you want to let us know just the headline findings from that in terms, Richie? Did it work in terms of reducing fractures?
So the headline then is that the treatment greatly reduced the chance of a postmenopausal woman with osteoporosis sustaining a fracture. The people recruited into the trial were all women between 49 and 86 years old. They were all defined as being at high risk, you know, essentially, like you were saying earlier, they had very low bone mineral density and they'd either suffered a fracture or they were over 65 years old. And as you say, the drug was compared to a placebo. The study showed that in the abaloparatide patients, they increased their bone mineral density by about 12% in the lumbar vertebrae and about 4% at the hip, in comparison to the patients who didn't take any treatment. And this was associated with a really big reduction in the risk of fracture. The patients who took abaloparatide had about an 88% reduction in the risk of fracture in the vertebrae and about a 69% reduction in risk of a major osteoporotic fracture. And of course, that includes fractures like hip fractures, which are the ones which really devastate lives and cause a lot of death. Great results from the trial.
No, I mean, you need to get back to us then in 6 months or 12 months to see where this will actually fit into our clinics. Some of the great things that have happened in the last few years in terms of osteoporosis treatment have allowed us to develop these fast-track clinics where we get patients with vertebral fractures in as quickly as possible to get them new drugs. So it's great that we have those sort of clinics and those sort of channels already set up where people are getting teriparatide or romosuzumab or sometimes denosumab. So those are already set up. I'm quite certain a abaloparatide will fit into that clinic. Exactly where it fits in yet, I don't think we're absolutely certain. How it will compare with teriparatide or romosuzumab, I don't think we're absolutely certain. But we're certainly excited about this, and we're excited to see the benefits that it will offer patients.
Brilliant. We better leave it there. Thank you for joining, listeners. Bye-bye. See you in the next episode.
Bye now.